is a giant owl just a really large owl? I mean, is it, and do we have any fossil record or any, you know, actual, you know, bone record of something like a giant owl?
Yes, we do. It's a fossil bird found in Cuba only a few thousand years ago. We know that in caves in Cuba, Orgomegalonyx oteroi is the scientific name of that owl, which was an extraordinarily large owl. It's not just a big owl of the kind we already know. It's a unique bird of its own kind, and they seem to be still around. They were the sensation behind the Mothman stories in the 1960s. People were seeing these giant owls, which people had been seeing in West Virginia for decades.
Well, how big is big, are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about something that's several feet tall, you know, almost man-sized. And then when these birds stand still and furl their wings up above their heads, they're even taller. And some of them can mimic a dead tree standing next to a lake. People have reported Rocky Fork Lake in Ohio. People have seen these birds standing on the shore among trees, looking like a dead tree itself. And it's a kind of camouflage that owls are known to use.
All right. Now, yeah, I would see that. I think that would be more common with kind of a wood owl sitting on a branch looking like it's part of a tree.
Right.
Not something big enough to be a whole trunk.
Right, but that's what this bird does.
Okay. So, again, how big, tipped winged, what's the wingspan of the fossil record of these giant owls?
I think it's probably something like 8 feet. Yeah, but these things are estimates, especially if you don't have an entire specimen of bones to work with. But we're talking about something that was the fossil bird. It wasn't quite as large as what people are reporting today. But I think it's the equation is pretty obvious that if people are seeing giant owls today with wingspans approximately 10 feet across, we're talking about a surviving Orgomegalonyx oteroi rather than anything else.
And that's not that hard to imagine, say, in West Virginia, a state which is entirely within the Appalachian mountain range.
Yeah, a fascinating state. It has a lot of oddities to it, including thunderbirds. They occur there as well, but these owls have been particularly noticed there. The American Indians know of giant owls. They speak of them from one end of the country to the other. Sometimes they call it great owl or the old she owl, or they have other names that aren't quite so obvious, but they're describing giant owls all the way up into Canada. So people have seen them, but again, what gets into the news is what we tend to know more about. And these things have been noticed in West Virginia flying up and down creeks for most of the 20th century, actually.
And yet never one shot, never one captured, never one found dead in the woods from natural causes.
That's probably not strictly true. There are people who say they have killed these things. But back when the Mothman excitement was going on, there was a family who were harassed by a large owl. A guy lost his dog to this thing, so he went out, shot this thing. He's now dead, but his wife didn't even want to look at it. You know, she just glanced at it, and they buried it because he was afraid of being, getting into some kind of legal hassle over killing some exotic or endangered animal. So he didn't want to go to the authorities, no reason to. And they just buried it, and now there's a house built on that site where the thing was buried. So forget about it.
Bad luck there. All right. Well, then you mentioned, too, that thunderbirds also appear. And this word thunderbird got used last week, but it wasn't used in a cryptozoological sense. It was used to imply that this was some sort of interdimensional being or a kind of mythological being. And so explain what a thunderbird is. And when you say there have been sightings of them across the country, what are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about birds that have been seen from Alaska all the way to Florida. And one reason that we would have these birds seen in so many places, I would say, is that they are migrating at times from south to north and back again. So that something that is seen, say, in Oklahoma might be, in the summer months, be up in Ontario. And that's why people are seeing these birds in places like Illinois, because that's they're passing through there. They're on their way from one point to another. And they're in the east, they're migrating up and down the Appalachian Mountains. The Indians, the Cherokees, knew them well. They had many names for them. The great mythic hawk, Tlanua, were names they used. And then when you go up the Appalachians, you still find them in reports and in Indian lore all the way up into Canada, especially into Quebec. And out west, of course, when the wide open spaces, there are plenty of stories of birds out there, and the Indian traditions about them, too, from California all the way up to Alaska.
Well, can you describe what a thunderbird looks like and what kind of wingspan we're talking about?
Okay, we're talking generally about something that is ranging from about 15 to 20 feet with wingspan, and twice the size easily of the condors of you know, California and the Andean Mountains, where they don't get more than about 11-foot wingspan on an Andean condor. So these things are much larger. They are the ones that are seen today are generally going to be black in color or battleship gray. And now the American Indians have traditions that these birds were once more colorful, but that's probably when their population was larger. And they had these, I would say what we're seeing now is the result of what's more adaptive to the times. The more obscure the bird is, the less colorful it is, the more likely it is to survive in modern times. Because people, you know, have killed, the Indians would kill these birds sometimes. And obviously, we have stories of pioneers encountering these things, say in Oklahoma, and killing them too with weapons. So.